1989 was my first prayer advance. And 32 years later, here we are. And you say, well, what's the deal? Well, you never outgrow the need to advance your prayer life, no matter how old you are, no matter how long you've been on the road. So I'm just thankful to be here today and be a part of this and to be a help any way I can. Now, we're going to kind of shift gears and kind of go in another direction. My message today is going to be more of like a talk with us being in a group together. Supposing we were around a table and in a group and just you're asking me a question about my prayer life and my journey, and this is what I would tell you. I've titled this My Personal Journey, Learning How to Pray in a Better Way. Before I start, I found this interesting little story. You know how in life sometimes things go from bad to worse? And we think it can't get any better, and normally it does. In San Diego, there was a patrolman who pulled over a driver and informed him, oh, by the way, where are our guys from Shelbyville? Hey, right here. All right, there's our Shelbyville boys right there. Wow, I want to see you guys afterwards, all right? Can you take me out to dinner? Or would that, okay. I was just curious, all right? You guys aren't giving me, you're not giving me offerings anymore, so I got to have a, you're not paying me anymore, so. So anyway, patrolman guy, he pulled over a driver and he informed me, because this was back a couple of decades ago when they were trying to really get people, everyone to you know, buckle up, enforce seatbelts, and informed me that since you were wearing your seatbelt, he said, you are the 1,000th a person that I pulled over today, and you have just won $1,000 in a safety competition, and we want to award this to you. So as he was just excited talking to this police officer, and the officer asked him, he said, what are you going to do with the prize money? And the man responded, well, I guess I'll go to driving school and get my license back. Well, it gets worse. And at that very moment, his wife, she piped up and she said to the officer, don't listen to him. He always is a smart aleck when he's drunk. Now, this woke up the guy in the back seat who was laying down. When he saw the policeman, he blurted out, I knew we wouldn't get far in a stolen car. And then about that time, there was a knock from the trunk. And a voice you could hear blurring out, are we over the border yet? I thought that was a cute story. Going from bad to worse. Well, sometimes we miss the obvious. As the old saying, we can't see the forest for the trees. And that's what happened on my journey in this matter of praying and advancing in prayer. It's kind of like Watson and Holmes. Remember Sherlock Holmes and the stories? And one of the stories is that they had some time, some leisure time, and so they decided to go camping. And so got out in the woods and found them a nice place. They got their tent set up and all that was, and all the paraphernalia. And lo and behold, about the middle of the night, Holmes awakens Watson and says, Dr. Watson, wake up! And Watson says, what is it, Holmes? He said, what do you see? And he said, what do I see? I see a full moon and clouds covering the moon. He said, no, Watson, what do you really see? Oh, he said to Holmes, he said, I see a plethora of stars and Milky Ways. He said, no, Watson, what do you really see? And he said, Holmes, I don't know. He said, somebody has stolen our tent. The tent's gone. Now, this is, as I said, more of a talk, of a message about my development. And so what I'm going to share with you is not something necessarily that you are struggling in. I'm just going to tell you my struggles. And so if it happens to be a struggle that you have also experienced and we can help in the area of your prayer life, it's like this. It's like, I'm one beggar telling some other beggars where I found some bread. And if you want to join with me and enjoy the bread, I pray that you'll be blessed by it. But my question is this. What does the way you pray say about your view of God? What does the way you pray say about your view of the gospel? What does the way you pray and what does the way I pray say about my view of the exchange life? Well, the answer to that question is everything. Everything. You remember it was Dr. Tozer who made this profound statement in his book, The Knowledge of the Holy. What comes into your mind when you think of God is the single most important thing about you and about any church. No nation, no church, no movement, no prayer advance will rise any higher than our concept of God. What does the way you pray say about your view of the gospel? When you pray, are you like John Owen of old who said, when I carry my sins to the cross, I realize I walk away with the righteousness of Christ? That I died in his death. Self died in his death. Even death died in his death. And Satan suffered a deadly blow. But when you pray, is there any indication at all that you understand and apply these truths to your life? Well, I have a PowerPoint that I was able to get from Shelbyville to the prayer advance. Went through the archives of some of my old messages, and this was one I preached a few years ago. In fact, I preached this message to the church, and it was so confusing, and I pray it's not confusing to you today, but it was so confusing, Harold, I had to go back and preach another sermon just to explain what sermon I had just preached. So that's never good, is it? So anyway, just want to give you a heads up, all right? But here's just some definitions of prayer. E.M. Bounds, one that you probably are familiar with, a quote, he said, prayer should not be regarded as a duty. Prayer should not be regarded as a duty which must be performed, but rather a privilege to be enjoyed. Would you say amen to that? Yes. A delight. A rare delight that always is revealing some new beauty. Similar words were spoken by Watson. This is not on the PowerPoint, but Thomas Watson said, prayer delights God's ear. It melts his heart. When we pray, do we think about how God is responding to us in our praying? It has a lot to do with the matter of whether you see it as a duty or a delight. Andrew Murray said, prayer is a monologue. It's not a monologue, I'm sorry, but a dialogue between two people who what? Love each other. Well, here was my struggle, and just even more recently, as just a few years ago, and even currently, even now, some of these matters have resurfaced in my time of prayer. So going to Matthew 6, 5, and 8, here's what the scriptures say about this matter of vain repetition. And that's what I'm going to focus on today, this matter of vain repetition and how it played out in my life. Now, when you pray, this should not be as the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and the corners of the streets, that may be seen of men. That's Matthew 6, 5, and 8. Verily, I say unto you, they have their reward. But when you pray, when thou prayest, enter into your closet, and when you shut the door, pray to your Father which is in secret, and the Father which seeth thee in secret shall reward thee openly. But when you pray, use not, what's words? Vain repetition. Now, let's pause right there. What comes to mind when you think of vain repetition? Well, our minds would go back to perhaps listening to, hearing Muslims pray, or going to the Wailing Wall, and you see the Orthodox, the Hasidic Jews, how that they will rock back and forth and repeat those prayers over and over and over again. Or maybe you were raised in a Catholic tradition, or an Episcopalian tradition, or a Lutheran, and more of a high church, and the constant memorizing but quoting the same repetitious words over and over again. So that may be what comes to your mind. At least it did me, until I realized I had my own form of Baptist repetition. Repetition simply means empty phrases, meaningless repetition, mindless, mechanical, memorized words. And I love this verse 8, for they that think they shall be heard, they're much speaking, be not therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you even ask. Now this particular point is not on the PowerPoint, I wish it was, but it's something that I embraced later, but by Robert Murray McShane, great Scottish preacher. And here's what he said that just gripped my heart, and I wish I had it in print, but here's what he said. Study your prayers. Study your prayers. He said, a great part of my time is spent getting in tune for prayer. That's pretty foreign to us. Study your prayers. And I thought, wow. And again, I'm not judging. I'm not condemning anyone. I'm not criticizing anyone for how you pray. And if even some of these phrases you too have used, and I'm not trying to say that it's wrong what you are saying. I'm just saying, in my case, I realized I needed to make some adjustments. I needed to make some changes because I wanted to get off grounds of rote and get off the grounds of unbelief and the grounds of just praying what I had been taught to pray from my youth up, because, well, I want acceptance from the greater body of men that I've been affiliated with in the church. And so they're familiar with these phrases and these words. So we're just kind of all caught up in this vain repetition. Here was one of mine, and this is not on the PowerPoint, but here was one that I struggled with in praying until just recently. Lead, guide, and direct. Lord, lead me, guide me, and direct me. And then one day, I was doing a series at the church on the 23rd Psalm. And the Spirit of God just awakened my heart and reminded me, Ed, is the Lord your shepherd? I mean, is he shepherding your life? I said, well, yes, you are. Okay, if I'm shepherding your life, and am I the one that's taking you into green pastures? Well, yes, you have many, many, many times. Am I the one that leads you beside still waters? Yes. Am I the one that takes you into paths of righteousness for my name's sake? Yes, you have, Lord, time and time and time again. Then why don't you just acknowledge the fact that I have been leading, guiding, and directing your life since your childhood? In fact, from my childhood to the prayer advance of 2022, the Lord has been shepherding my life. Since the day he was Lord, since the day that he revealed my need of him, he has been. In fact, I don't know, Brother Lynch, if I can get on grounds, if it would not be too reformed, but perhaps even before I was saved, he was giving me preparatory grace. And maybe even shepherding me before I was even saved. Because it is the goodness of God that brings us to what? Repentance. And as I look back even before I was converted, how Christ was at work in the circumstances and situations and bringing just the right people in my life. So I would have to say probably from my birth, the Lord has been shepherding my life in one sense or another. So I said, all right, Father, I'm getting rid of that one. I'm tired of asking you for what you are already doing in my life. I want to get on grounds of faith. All my life, he's been my guide. And you know, there are times we do step away from him, right? But you know the shepherd is going to come chasing you. And not only will he chase you, but he'll also chasten you to bring you back to what? To the fold. Still shepherding. Well, number two. I prayed this one quite often, and I still catch myself saying this one. And I think this is on the PowerPoint, gentlemen. Lord, would you please be with us? Lord, would you please go with us? Well, then John 14 jumped out at me, and I thought, wow, is this even theologically correct? What is this? Well, he said, I will pray to the Father, and he's going to give you another comforter, one just like myself. And he's going to dwell or abide, he's going to abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth of the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him. In other words, you've seen his activity all these 3 years that I've been walking with you men, and you've been seeing the demonstration of the Holy Spirit all around. So you know who he is. For he dwelleth with you. And listen, now he's going to be where? In you. I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And Jesus answered and said unto him, that is to Judas, not Iscariot, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him. And listen to this. We will come unto him and make our abode. First he says to the gentleman, I'm going to leave. But he said, Holy Spirit's coming. He's called the Comforter. And he's not just going to walk alongside you like I've walked alongside. He's going to come and he's going to be dwelling in you. And when he comes to dwell in you, he brings me with him. Well, I too am going to abide with you in a spiritual sense. And oh, by the way, not only is Holy Spirit coming, and not only am I coming, but we're bringing the Father with us. The entire Trinity is going to be dwelling with you forever. And I thought, how could I ever pray again? Lord, would you please go with me? Lord, please be with me. Son, where have I been? Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. What I'm saying is this. Like Ms. Shane said, study your prayers. Think about what you're thinking about when you pray. Don't just let these words just roll out of your mouth that have no meaning. It's just fillers. Paul's description of Christians. What was his favorite? Let me back up. What is Paul's favorite description of Christians? He used it over 50 times in the 13, perhaps 14 books that he wrote. What was his favorite description of a believer? Being in Christ. Over and over and over. Paul never could get past that Christ would bring him into union with the Godhead. Now, when you pray, is there anything that you say when you pray that reveals in any way that you're in union with the Godhead? That's the question I had to ask myself. Yes, we understand he has omnipresence. He is everywhere. And his positional presence, now he's abiding with us. But gentlemen, the positional presence has been granted to us by grace so that we can enter into the personal, intimate presence of Christ. Nearer, nearer. Nearer I cannot be, but in the person of his Son, I'm just as near as he. What does it mean to be justified? just as if I had never sinned and had always been as righteous as Jesus Christ. That's how near we are to him. In fact, he tells us in the book of Ephesians, he actually seated us with him in his throne. Wow. So, I had to get rid of that one. Here was one that I always would pray when I had the boys, when we were growing up and the kids were, and I say, now, Lord, you know, the kids, you know, how you know, they're kids. And so, Lord, would you please watch over them and would you please protect them? And then watch over mom and watch over, you know, the church. And Lord, protect the church. And watch over and protect. Watch over and protect. Watch over and protect. Well, first of all, we know that a sparrow doesn't fall from the sky without his notice. He even gives it a proper burial. Psalm 34, verse 7. The angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him and delivereth them. Well, Dr. James McGinley was a preacher back in, a Scottish preacher back in, I think, the 40s and 50s. He was going into a meeting in his old Model A, and he got going a little too fast. He was running late to the meeting, and he said, as I was journeying along about 60 miles an hour, he said, me angel began to be a bit nervous. And then I said, I moved it down to 70, and then he began to flutter. And then when I moved it down to 80, me angel was on the back of the motorcycle of the policeman. Me angel ratted me out. Have you ever sensed maybe sometimes your angel ratted you out? But we are encamped around about with the host of heaven. I mean, think about it, men. We have the best of both worlds. We have Jesus now and Jesus there. We have the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And if that's not enough, we're encamped around about with the angelic host. And if that's not enough, we even have the body of Christ. And if that's not enough, we have the Holy Scriptures. I mean, we are blessed beyond measure. Greatly blessed, highly favored. So, Psalm 125, verse 2, as the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is around about his people from henceforth forevermore. How many of you know that it was the Lord that you escaped an accident that should have taken your life? How many of you know that you have been in situations that if the Lord had not been on your side, if the Lord had not intervened, he's saying, son, what do you think I've been doing for 70 years of your life? I've been watching over you. I've been protecting you. And when you get to heaven, your angel is going to take you down in a wrestling match. And he's going to, like Jacob of old, he's going to wrestle with you. And, because you put him through so many trials of having to pull you out. Now, I know that's not, I'm just kind of talking out of my head. I need to get back to my notes here. So, but the eyes of the Lord are ever upon us. So why don't we just pause? Can we just pause and just say something like this? Lord, I realize what I've been saying to you is so, so wrong. It's just, I just say it and I don't even realize what I'm saying. And I just want to acknowledge that you have been protecting me. And I want to be filled with gratitude and just thank you for every single time. Times that I don't even have any idea how that I escaped near disaster because you intervened ahead of me. Time and time and time again. And my times are in your hands. And I want to thank you that I can rest in the fact that my days were numbered before the day I was born. And I can rest in knowing that I'm 70 years old. And I'm supposed to be 70 years old. And I'm supposed to be at the prayer advance here in 2022. You have been watching over me. You have been protecting me. I mean, it was Newton who said, through many dangers, toils, and I have already come. and grace has brought me safe thus far. Amen. And grace will take me all the way home. I believe that. You know, Fanny Crosby, one of my favorite songwriters, you know, she's the one who wrote the words, the beautiful hymn, "All the Way My Savior Leads Me." What have I to ask beside? I cannot question. Can I doubt his tender mercies? Who through my life has been my guide? Can you look back over your life and say, yes, the Lord has been my guide. The Lord has looked over me. And what can I ask beside? Because nothing can touch my life unless it first touches his heart and flows through his hands to me. He has to put his stamp of approval on everything that comes into my life. So, and this is probably my worst one. Lord, would you please bless me? And Lord, would you bless my family? Would you bless the church? Lord, would you bless the prayer advance? Lord, would you bless our nation? And on and on and on we go, this bless, 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 bless. And now look, I am not saying that you're wrong to say that. Please don't get me wrong. That may be perfectly fine for you to say that. I'm just telling you, this is my journey. This is my personal journey on things that had to be corrected in my own personal prayer life to get me off the grounds of repetition and unbelief and on grounds of faith and grace and an open heaven. Your journey won't be my journey, and my journey won't be your journey. But Romans 8:32 jumped off the pages of the scripture, and it's kind of like, have you ever sometimes read the Bible, and then you've read it again and again, and then like the night before, God wrote some extra Bible? It's like, you know, I just never seen it in this light before. Romans 8:32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also, freely give us all things? You and I can't be any more blessed than we are blessed right now. God did not withhold his infinitely greatest blessing. He did not withhold the crown jewel of heaven from us. He gave us, in other words, God emptied his billfold dry. Emptied it all out. So here is Paul's argument, which he did this in Romans 5 and here again in Romans 8. He does the contrast of the greater and the lesser. If God will give you the greatest blessing, his son, and by the way, it didn't stop there. His son said, Father, can I give them the Spirit, the Holy Spirit? And then the Holy Spirit said, well, can I give them the scriptures? And can I give them the body of Christ? And so it just goes on and on and on. We were given the Son. We were given the Holy Spirit. We were given the church. We were given the scripture. We were given the angels that camp around about us. And if he has given to us the greatest of gifts, will he not give us the lesser gifts? Like our eternal inheritance. And what all is in that inheritance, which the Bible basically tells us, it's riches beyond comprehension. Notice what he says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. In fact, if it's on the screen, let's just read it together. Let's read it out loud. Kind of let's participate together. Let's begin. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath with spiritual blessings in heavenly places. What word appears three times? Blessed. Blessed. Blessings. Unlimited resources. Listen to this, Ephesians 1, 18 and 19. The eyes of your understanding. His heart was just bursting with passion. I can't bring the words out of my mouth how that Paul wanted so badly for you, for the church at Ephesus, and for you and I to see this, to get this. God, open their eyes, open their heart. That the eyes of understanding being enlightened, that you might know what is the hope of his calling and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power. And they go on in verse 20. By the way, he said that power is the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. That's way out of my league. I can't fully comprehend that. My eyes have not been fully open. I'm like a little kitten, just kind of getting open just a little bit. But I do know this. Gone is the days I'm going to ask the Lord to bless. He is already blessing. He has done abundant blessing. And it's time for me to praise Him for every blessing. You remember the song? Count your many blessings, name them. Count your blessings. Let's count our blessings. Instead of calling for His blessings, Lord, bless, bless, bless. Would you bless? Would you? Instead of calling for His blessings, let's count His blessings. And let's rejoice in everyone that we're totally undeserving of. And relish in that. And you know, perhaps His blessings will continue to come in an abundant form. I know I'm not saying don't ever pray that. I'm not saying that. You remember 9/11? We all remember 9/11 if you're, 20 plus years. You remember 9/11. You remember flags, or not just flags, but you remember posters that were in people's yards and in signs and windows of stores and even in churches. And they were just all over the country. God bless America. But there was one store owner in New York that got it right. There was one. He put in his window, America, bless God. America, bless God. Men, let's bless God. I mean, when I pray, am I saying, Lord, am I just trying to get something what I already have? Am I trying to gain? Am I trying to be somewhere where I'm already at? You all know the song, and I love to quote hymns. I know you probably kind of noticed that. You know the hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness. You all know that? But how about that third verse? The third verse. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today and bright hopes for tomorrow. Hold on to your seat. Hold on. Blessings all mine and 10,000 beside. I know I'm not much of a singer, but boy, I love that part. Blessings all mine. Let's bless the Lord. Let's bless the Lord. Again, I'm not judging anyone. I hope and pray you don't go home and say, well, this guy just really messed up my prayer life royally. And that's not my intent. I just want you to think about what you're saying. And perhaps it maybe will unlock some faith and unlock prayer in a greater dimension, because we're still advancing in prayer. Amen? Still advancing. So, I mean, listen, John 17:23. How can you be more blessed than this? I in them and thou in me? That they may be perfect and one, and that the world might know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them. I can't grasp this. That you have loved them as you have loved me. When you pray, is there any indication in your praying that you're loved even as Christ is loved? Well, here's my final one. I got this one from Harold. No, not in his praying. I'm not saying that, no. I'm not talking about the way he prays. You guys are not listening right, okay? It's not that I'm not talking right. I'm not in denial about this. But Harold wrote a book. We have some guys that have been a part of our Grace House ministry. Back in those days when we had an influx of men, and I used to put this book on the counter for the guys to read. And in fact, I gave it out. I've given out hundreds of copies of this book. Lord, help me not to think these evil thoughts. How many of you have ever read the book? Most of you haven't. Is it on the bookcase? Or the book on the book display? Y'all need to read it. This was one that really was the kicker for me, because I was a help me prayer. Help me, Lord. Help me to preach. Help me to pastor. Help me to pray better. Help me to get victory. First message we heard today, I'd been, in those days, I'd been back on my knees and saying, Lord, help me to get victory. Help me to get victory. Help me to get victory. 1 Corinthians 1:30, but of him you are in Christ Jesus, of whom is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption. And the list could go on. 2 Peter 1:3, I've got to hustle. Let me close this down. 2 Peter 1:3, according as his divine power hath given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Wow. Incredible. You know, as I read my Bible, you never will ever hear Jesus ever pray a prayer like, please, Lord, please, Father, please, Father. You never hear Paul or Peter or John ever begging the Lord for anything. So as I went back and I examined my prayers of lead, guide, and direct, watch over me, protect me, be with me, bless me, help me, I couldn't find those anywhere in the Bible. Oh, you say, well, in the Old Testament, David did ask for help. Yes, he did. In Psalm 46, the Lord is our refuge and the Lord is our strength. He's a very present help in the time of need. David got it right. But here is what I want to close with and what I share with you about. Well, I've got a couple quotes. Do I have time for a couple quotes? Okay. Here's what I've learned that's better than the help prayer. Because I realized I was asking for help that I already had. And instead of praying, Lord, would you assist me? Would you support me? I felt the call for him upon my heart from him, Ed, why don't you just surrender to me? Because I realized when I was praying the help prayer, I was saying, Lord, let's lock arms. Would you come alongside me? Lord, just help me to get, help me. I need help. And it's like, here's a better prayer, Ed. Just say, Lord, have me. Just let me wrap you in my arms and carry you through this. You don't need a co-pilot. You need someone who is a real pilot. And I'm not only a pilot of this plane, I own the airlines. And I only own the airlines, I own the skies. Because it's all mine. So men, I'm just challenging you. If you're into this help me syndrome, this help me repetition, this repetitive prayer of always help me, help me, help me. Just pause and say, Father, teach me just to say, Lord, I surrender. Have me, not just help me. Well, Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I love that verse because before I ever had a need, he had the supply already on hand. Had it all provided. And we could go into that, but I'm going to move away from that to these closing words. Listen to, if you would, a quote, and this quote is not in the PowerPoint, but I do have two quotes, one from Dr. William Newell and A.W. Tozer, but I would like to give you a couple of quotes prior to that. F.J. Hugel wrote in these words, he said, much of our begging fails to register in heaven because it fails to spring from a right relationship with Christ in his death, burial, and resurrection. In which position one simply appropriates That's just a word. That's a faith word. That's an embracing word. That's a claiming word. Appropriates what is already his. Here's a quote I'd like to put on the screen, if you would. Newell's quote. Satan's great device is to drive earnest souls like you and I back to beseeching God for what God says. What God says is already yours. It's already yours. I've already done it. I've accomplished it. Tozer wrote these words. We are forever asking God to do things that he either has already done or will not do because of our unbelief. S.D. Gordon said that when you're in the thick of a fight, when you are the object of attack, here is your mode of operation. Plead less, claim more. On the grounds of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I do not say, and I do not mean, Lord, give me victory, but claim his victory to overshadow you. Stand in the victory that he gained for us at Calvary. So let me ask you a question. When you pray, what does your prayer say about your view of God and your view of the gospel? Let's pray. Can you pray with me today these simple words? I am who God says I am. Can we say that together? I am who God says I am. One more time. I am who God says I am. And would you just repeat this with me? I have what God says I have. I have what God says I have. And I can do what God says I can do. I can do what God says I can do. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Father, we're still on the journey, learning how to pray. Thank you that you have never, ever given up on our weakness and our failures time and time and time again, which becomes the door of entering into the fullness of Christ. And so in some small way, if we can help the men tonight when they pray, and especially tomorrow when they get into the sweet hour of prayer, that they'll take note of these matters to get off the grounds of unbelief and realizing that that which is not of faith is sin, and repent of it. And say, Father, I don't want to be guilty. I don't want to be critical of those who stand in churches with vain repetition, and here I'm doing the exact same thing. So cleanse my heart. Give me eyes of faith and get my heart into the scriptures that I will pray the word of God back to you. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's men can say, amen.